A warm greeting to everyone watching, listening, hearing, in all ings, if you are just borrowing me your attention, I am truly, truly grateful. Yeah, before I forget, please do like, share, comment, subscribe, all the things. Just, yeah, please, let's get the algorithm active. For those of you who are listening on YouTube, please do take note that we are also on Spotify, Google Podcast, as well as Apple Podcast. There we go. I keep forgetting about this introduction thing, so they have to keep reminding me. Now, for those of you who are listening to me on the podcast, what I want to mention to you is today's sermon begins in an extra special way because of the extra special attire that I am wearing. So today's attire is literally me dressing up just like my dad. I grew up seeing my dad dress up like this. So I asked my social media manager to take a photo of me. So we're going to post it on the platforms that we have. We're going to post it on Facebook. We're going to post it on Instagram. We're not going to post it on TikTok. We're going to post it on those two platforms. The links, though, for Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook will be on the description. So please do check that out and follow us and do the things that are necessary for you to keep communication with us. We're still on the sermon series, The Work of the Cross. Do me a favor and shout out The Work of the Cross.
The work of the cross.
Out of 10, I give you 0. But it's cool.
The Work of the Cross.
All right. That's a bit better. 2.5. All right. Okay, cool. That's good. So we're still on the sermon series, The Work of the Cross. And today we're going to be reading from John 3. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, and it reads as follows. He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with them. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. I'm going to tag a title to my sermon right after that. And this is my title. Listen up. Listen properly. Same cross, new you. All right? Same cross, new you. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I believe the power of any text is in the context, because when you are busy reading or when you decide to enter into a space where you are diagnosing a text, even if it's an argument, even if it's a conversation, you only get credibility of having a say in the text, okay? Once you understand the context. Because the power of the text is in the context. Unless you understand the context, you could have a whole... In fact, I think in philosophy, we call it a straw argument, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think it's a straw argument where you're arguing for something that the person was not even saying. I'm just passing by and I see social media has a tendency of straw man. There you go. Straw man fallacy. Social media has a tendency of posting pastors where they're just posting clips and not the whole context. And now people are angry. And there's one pastor who I truly love, you know, and I feel like they're misrepresenting him. And the reason they're misrepresenting him because they don't get the context. Yeah. I love you, Pastor Michael Todd. You did so much for me. Yeah. Cool. So, we're reading John chapter 3. And what we're seeing right here is Nicodemus pulling through to Jesus at night. And what then happens is he says to Jesus, Jesus, you see, we see that you're different. You're not like us. You're not living like us. You see, the things you do, there's power to it. Like the miraculous signs that you do, no one just does them. And here Nicodemus is coming, asking for a plug to the miraculous signs that Jesus does on a regular. But I want to zoom in on this particular point of him being a walking evidence. Is that English? It came with the sheep. You see, Jesus was walking evidence. Jesus was walking evidence of the living God. Jesus was the walking proof that there is a God out there. And this sermon is meant to inspire a whole generation. I'm hoping this sermon can be preached even years from now. This generation is supposed to invoke something in us to become the walking evidence of a living God. Here's my conviction. Some sermons are meant to be preached. They're meant to be lived out. Ooh. Some sermons are better seen than heard. I like that. What happened to the generation that showed us his goodness instead of telling us about his goodness? And so Nicodemus is coming and he's saying, it is impossible for us to claim that you are behind that which you are doing, because we see that you are living proof that there is a God out there. And so this conversation is literally about that. And so this is what Jesus says. He says, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. For you shall know the truth. And it shall set you free. And I want to stick on this point here, because what Jesus is about to say right now is super, super, super important. He says, this is the truth, because the truth supersedes the reality. The truth transcends the fact. And this is why the Bible says that let the weak say, I am strong, because the truth supersedes the fact. In fact, this links properly to Sermon 1, where one of the reasons we can stand in conviction that we are the exception is because we're living in truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In fact, when you check the word there, know, it's not just head knowledge, but it's being intimate with truth. The reason I can walk with conviction about being the exception is because I am in intimacy with the truth. All right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so Jesus is saying, it is impossible for you to see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. It is impossible for you to see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Why be born again? Let's just talk about that for a minute. Why be born again? I said this to... I was preaching at our church a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling them that one of the ways to deal with behaviors is not by addressing the behavior, but it's by becoming the person who flows, who naturally does what he needs to do. Let me give you an example. You don't address being late by trying to stop being late. You address being late by hating being late, which means you need to become the person who being early or being on time just flows in them. And this is why you need to be born again. This is why you need to be born again. In fact, I am convinced that the best way to help people is by introducing them to Jesus Christ. Why? Because then they get to be born again. You know, when you help someone, when you introduce someone to Jesus Christ and they get born again, my conviction is you don't have to do checkups on them. Because in them, there is a nature of pushing through. There is a nature of wanting to see it happen. Anyways, here's the significance of being born again. I'm moving. Let me see. Let me wrap up. Here's the significance of being born again. When you are born again, listen to me. When you are born again, generational curses are no longer applicable to you. This is why I get confused when people pray for generational curses, because I'm just like, how are you addressing generational curses, but you've got new DNA running in your blood. You've got God DNA. You've got a different lineage running in your blood. So why are we still interested in Mkulugas Banban and Kokogas Banban? That means grandfather and grandmother. Because I've got new DNA running in my blood. This connects well with Sermon 1. This is why I say I can be an exception even in my family. I will not die by cancer. Even if it took out everyone in my family, I've got God blood running in me.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, ne? Yeah. This is why don't close it now. And this is why, like I said, the best way to help someone is by introducing them to Jesus Christ. Why? Because they get born again. People who have money die from generational curses. So whether you give them money or not, it really doesn't help. This can be controversial. Even voting is not as valuable as introducing people to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying don't vote, but I'm just saying. When someone gets born again, it's better than voting. All right. I actually wanted to talk about how... I'm not sure if I should say it. But I'm going to say it. I actually wanted to talk about how Christianity played a huge role in the end of apartheid. Christianity, it played a huge role in the end of apartheid. But I'm going to leave that. The best way to help an individual, introduce them to Jesus Christ to be born again. Generational curses aren't applicable to you. We don't count that. Here's another reason why I think it's very significant to be born again. And I see Jesus is also mentioning that over there. He says that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, why is it crucial to see the kingdom of God? Because once you see how much leverage you have in life, you get to see how much confidence you have in life, or you are supposed to have in life. In fact, y'all remember when Adam and Eve fell into sin? The first thing they started seeing was excuse, was guilt, was being ashamed. It was their nakedness. And this is why when you get born again, the first thing that happens is you get to change your perspective as to how you see things. This is why in the realm of the spirit, or in the realm of people, in the realm of the spirit, the language "I can't" does not exist. "I cannot" does not exist in the realm of the spirit, because we see the leverage instead of the excuse. We see it happening than it failing. And the problem with people is before they even begin, they've seen the difficulty. Go start a business. Yeah, but the economy of the country is what? It's time for a relationship. Yeah, but you know, there are no good men out there. Hey, guys. Come on, guys. When you are born again, it changes your perspective. And sometimes people can think you crazy. Call me crazy all you want. That's just my nature, yo. Yeah. All right, I think I'm done. I think that's it. I mentioned this earlier in the pod, and I just want to repeat it here, okay? And that is, Jesus kept seeing the new you. For him to stay on the cross, he had to keep seeing the new you. For him to endure the pain, to endure the shame, to endure everything he went through, he had to see He had to keep putting his eyes, Hebrews 12 verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross. He had to keep putting his eyes on the new you. In a nutshell, guys, let's not disappoint Jesus, guys, and live below the you he saw. Let's not disappoint Jesus, Buffett. Hey, the Americans understand Buffett. All right, anyways. The last thing I want to do, it's been a minute since I've done this, but I think it's very important. You can only get to experience the new you once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's what it means to be born again. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now, if you're listening to this and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to be born again, just do me a favor. Just simply say this prayer with me. Say, Father, I thank you that today I get an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. From today onwards, I am a new creation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be nice. Peace. Weebies.
Weebies.
You know what it is?